Spears Village, part of Houston, Texas, northwest side. We attended services there all the time that we lived in Houston. Several months ago, the preacher who is there now, who was attending there when we lived there, but was not the preacher at the time, got a call from a lady who said, I just read Mussel and the Shovel, and I want to be baptized. And he said, excuse me? He didn't know anything about the book. Had never heard of the book. Her next comment was, are you a real Church of Christ? And he had a further conversation with her. Asked her, John's pretty good, very personable. He asked her a little more about what she was talking about and what Mussel and Shovel was. She explained to him pretty quickly, I think, after that, he read it, met with the elders at Jersey Village, and I don't remember the number of books they bought. 100 comes to mind, but whatever that number might be, they not only bought them, they started handing them out. The book itself is written by Michael Shank. It is in story format. It's 100% true. Takes place in the late 1980s in Nashville, Tennessee. Michael had married Johnita, and if you look at her name, you'll swear it's Johnetta, but it's Johnita. He was 20 years old, both from rural southern Illinois. Moved to Nashville. He had had some schooling in printer repair, copier repair, that kind of thing. Went to work for a company in Nashville. Going on about their lives as a young couple will, starting out. Things started to change not too long after he went to work there. He met a young man in the shipping department where he worked. And really, like anyone going to work at a new place, he didn't know anybody. But he passed the shipping department on the way to his office that he operated out of. And then he and the rest of the technicians would come in the morning and get their daily workload lined out, and basically had territories to cover around the Nashville area. Go out and repair machines, basically. Most of those machines were in churches, various churches, denominations, from one end of the spectrum to the other. Michael was raised a Baptist, and I don't think he calls it out specifically, but I think his wife was as well. If not, she wasn't. He doesn't ever talk about her background specifically. There's a couple of things that will happen when you pick it up to read it. More than likely, you won't want to put it down. But if you do, it's probably because you're uneasy about how he says a few things. He doesn't pull any punches. Straightforward and full of scripture. In the back, every chapter, and I think there's 40 chapters, has scripture, chapter, and verse that he uses in each chapter. And I say he uses. His friend in the shipping department is the one that uses it, not Michael. Michael's a Baptist Christian, if you will. You can interpret that however you want. But Randall in the shipping department is a member of the church. And does an excellent job. Michael had no clue what was in store in the next months ahead, close to a year by the time. Let me think. Yeah, close to a year by the time he was baptized, he and his wife both. Let me read you. This is an excerpt from the front written by Mike about the book. And this will give you a little bit of insight as to what I was talking about, whether you'll be challenged or not. It says, your beliefs about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty Father in heaven, and your church are beliefs that you hold close to your heart, and rightfully so. However, your beliefs are about to be challenged in a way that you never thought possible. The story you're about to read is completely true in every sense. There are no exaggerations, no embellishments. What you're about to read happened to me several years ago. This is Mike talking. And I'm sharing it with you for one reason and one reason only. I cannot, however, reveal this reason unless you read the story from beginning to end. If you make it to the end, you'll discover the reason. I promise that it will be worth your time. But let me give you fair warning. What you're about to read might anger, frustrate, and agitate your senses beyond description. This story may force you to examine the beliefs you hold so dear to your heart. This story is not for the weak-minded, nor is it for those who have their sensibilities easily offended. Many who begin this story won't make it to the end. Will you have the courage, the heart, and the honesty of character to finish this story to its end? I read a number of reviews online, and it was obvious that some of them were members of the church. It was also very obvious that some were not. It was also obvious some of them were truthful and upfront with their feelings. And I found a couple of them that I think he ruffled their feathers so much they didn't even want to talk about it. One of them was very evident, first of all, that he didn't have a lot of biblical knowledge. And he was downplaying the whole book. The very next one was just exactly the opposite. And was in detail about scripture and why. And this particular one was reviewed by a lady, and she couldn't say enough good about it. So, and you can go online and read it. You can read the reviews. There are a number of them. I'm not selling books. Retail's $15.95. You can buy them on Mike's site for $14.95. If you buy in quantity, they go down to, I think, $12.95 for if you buy as many as 100. There are a number of ways that this book has worked. People loan it to other people, casual acquaintances, people they work with, people they run into at the grocery store, whoever. People within the church that haven't read it. If so desire, you can buy them, hand them out, just like Jersey Village did. Whatever your method is, we hope that it reaches somebody that's lost. Randy?
I've got five on the way, and I can get another five more. If anybody would like to borrow it, read it, and then I encourage you to pass it on. I don't want them back. It's that powerful. I'll have five here in a couple of weeks, and probably, and I can get another five more if you'd like to borrow it. Definitely.
Jane? Yeah, if it was a Kindle, it would be cheaper. Or you can read it online, or read it as a Kindle version. He's also, and I need to get with it here because I'm going to run way short on time. He's also coming out with a sequel to this book later this year, which is going to be interesting, I'm sure. Because now, this was 1988. That all this took place. So, and he's booked preaching through January of 2015. He will not take any other appointments till October of this year. He's in that much demand. They've got, he and John Ada have got four children, grown children, still live in Southern Illinois, but travel over all over the United States. What do you think the largest industry is in Nashville, Tennessee? Most people would guess music. Printing. The largest printing area in the U.S. And drawing a blank. Guy in Oklahoma City that owned the newspaper, Gaylord, owned Opryland. I never could figure out the tie to Opryland. Hello. Printing business. He was a newspaper man. Money fit in there? You bet. But anyway, get back on track here. We're never going to get through. This book tells a story of a man who's going through normal life, working a normal job, hoping for normal things. One day's normal life is turned upside down. Randall, his co-worker in the shipping department, asked a simple question, and from that point on, things changed. Mike starts to question his background biblically. He questioned what he had been taught about God in the Bible. Begins to talk to friends, relatives, religious experts, all the above. And like most families, he had one aunt that was very Pentecostal, had immediate family that was Baptist. It was all over the map, like most families. In-laws, outlaws, cousins, whatever. He wasn't getting the answers. He was getting answers all right. He wasn't getting the right answers. When he would question, where is it in the Bible? I don't know. One of his clients was, well, he had several in the Nashville area and in the outlying areas in his territory. Every time he would go to one of these churches, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, whatever, he was already loaded for questions. Preacher there? They were attending Baptist Church in Nashville. asked, and it apparently was a good-sized Baptist church in Nashville, which there are several, asked the Baptist preacher to meet with them after service, Sunday morning services for a minute. Where'd the Baptist church come from? Who started the Baptist church? John the Baptist. Really? Yeah. Where do you find that? It's in there. It's in there. Excuse me. Turns them loose. Well, this didn't set well with Michael at all. So he goes back to work next week. Talks to Randall. He says, that's not where the Baptist church came from. There's a history lesson in this thing covering most major denominations. Very enlightening. Some of it you will have read before if you've studied very much Bible. But tells you when the Baptist Church was started and when John Smith started doing things, Methodist Church, the whole thing. It's a ways down. I can't remember which chapter, but at any rate, when you get to that point, it's a pretty good history lesson on other religions, when they started, what they believed and didn't believe. 40 chapters, 352 pages. If you don't put it down, it's not that difficult to read. It doesn't take really all that long. It'll take longer for some people than others. If you choose to research Scripture as you go through it, it will take a while. Some of the Scripture you may know by heart. Most all of the Scripture you will readily recognize. You may want to read it and come back, go through it, and do a little study with Scripture as you go. There's any number of ways you can go about it, but if you are searching for a word, if you're not very aggressive, if you're not very forward, if you have trouble talking to people, hand them the book. That simple. Really is. If they can't understand, oh, that's aggravating. If they can't understand what's in here, they can't read. It's that simple. Well, it answers about, he goes through it in a way that it answers virtually every question that people have concerning religion as long as they believe the Bible. If they don't believe the Bible, you've got no place to start. Certainly does. And some of the reviews, if they're negative, you can pick out what denomination they belong to by their comment. One of them calls the church a denomination. Hello, get your Bible out, guy. Back up, read what it says. One of the first things that they cover is the truth about baptism. First chapter goes through that, top of the steps of the baptistry. Kind of gets your attention from that point on, and he covers it in detail in one of the later chapters, but it kind of gets your attention. One of the first things that was thrown out to him by one of his co-workers in Nashville when Randall had been talking to him, you've always got somebody at work that is the know-it-all, that is in your face about things, you know the kind of people I'm talking about. Well, of course, they had one there, and he was in Mike's face. Wait, you need to stay away from that guy. They think they're the only ones going to heaven. Really? So Mike hadn't had enough study at that point. He was still in his Baptist mode, if you will. And I'm not picking on the Baptist. I grew up in the Baptist church. But it got him to thinking. He threw it right back at Randall. And this guy is smooth. How he can be that smooth and that patient, I'd love to be that way. I mean, he just keeps chipping away and brings a scripture every time he comes up. Every time Mike asks a different question, he comes right back. Okay, go home and read this. See what it says. It's not me. It's the Bible. Read what it says. Lower than a pregnant ant. That's one of the chapters. Not enough Bible knowledge. That's where Mike was at. So he kept asking questions. All these places he was repairing printers and copiers. And he wasn't getting the right answers. Many of them. And we're talking about preachers and denominations. Hello? I'm not beating on them either. If they're wrong, they're wrong. If they're right, they're right. If they don't agree with the Bible, they're wrong. I hate to be that way because that's not the way Randall would have said it. He would have convinced you very easily that they were wrong. But you wouldn't have realized it. Got through talking, and you had to think about it a minute. Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Personal relationship with Jesus. Have you heard that? It's the biggest hoax in the religion today. The Bible does not teach that. Have we heard it most of our lives? It's not in there. If it was, God would be a respecter of persons. And he's not. It says so. Acts 10:34. The little things like this that we have grown up with or we have heard, whether we were in a denominational world or in the church for that matter, some of these things tend to carry over because we've heard them all of our lives. One of the things he brings out somewhere so I don't mess it up. It's easier to believe a lie that one has heard 1,000 times than to believe a fact that no one has ever heard before. What are they doing to us in the United States today that fits this to it? Bingo. The longer you hear it, the more conditioned to it you become, and it makes it no more right than it was to start with. Larry? And that's just one piece of I hate to bring government into it, but the government's doing it, I'm sorry. The other things that are taking this country down the tube is that to a T. The more we hear it, the more conditioned we are to it. Before long, it's, oh, well, everybody's doing it, it's got to be okay. We're old enough, most of us, we realize that's not the case. But teenagers and young people, it's another story. And it should be more than just a major concern for us. But anyway, I'll get off that bandbox and let's... And he talks about baptism, its true meaning, and different denominational beliefs concerning baptism. Sprinkling, pouring, whether you need to be baptized immediately, whether you need to wait till the end of the quarter, whatever. And he had been baptized, I can't remember the age now, 9, 10 years old, something like that. 2 or 3 weeks after he... so-called became a Christian. Randall went through that with him at length. And every time he would go to one of these different denominational facilities to repair whatever they needed repaired, most denominations and other church, everybody else, most everybody's got a track rack out front. So he's picking up tracks wherever he's at. He's reading besides visiting with Randall most mornings as he goes in. He stops by the local service station on the corner that's got Krispy Kreme donuts. And in Nashville, that's one of the strong things in Nashville if you've ever been in and out of there. Anyway, so they have a donut and they have Bible study for X amount of time, whatever. Donuts run out, right.
You know, one thing that impressed me in that whole book was Randall's response to Michael wasn't coarse. It wasn't pressure. It seemed like every response he assigned Michael simply go do it.
No, he never does do that all the way through the book.
Never pressured him other than checking out. Mm-hmm. And
not as the sinner's prayer per se. As far as he could research and tell, was started in the 1930s at a revival meeting by a preacher. Let him dig on his own, learn on his own. Mm-hmm. Randy?
Randall reminded me of my grandparents, especially my grandmother. Come in from Sunday school, Wednesday night or something, I'd ask, Grandma, what about this? And I would get a little irritated because I thought, well, she knows the answer. She'd say, let's see what the Bible says. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, and most people, when you're digging to find an answer, you'll read lots of other things in the process getting there. And a good portion of the time, like these specific topics, it all comes together, but you may have to read several places, and they'll all basically, as we know in Scripture, point to the same thing. So,
I think one thing that most people are confused with, especially outside the church, maybe, that the quote plan of salvation is not in one place.
Nope.
Everything you need to do is not in one place. You can't just turn to John 12 and, oh, there it is. It's not all.
Randall's pretty smooth. The other thing that I have not brought out, which shouldn't make any difference anyway, but I will because it did make a difference in Nashville in the 1980s. He was a young black man. Jim? Just the opposite. And Randall was very Bible knowledgeable, extremely so. Belonged to a large black congregation in Nashville. We're going to run out of time, so I'm going to try to skip through some of this. And that's where Mike and Jonita, were baptized about midnight. It's not far from Fisk University in Nashville. On the west side, and even though there's a medical center and a couple of different colleges in the area, it's kind of like 61st and Peoria in Tulsa right now. That's the kind of part of town it was. It was a very nice part of town initially. Things changed in the neighborhood, as cities do, and it was not a great part of town to be in. They got lost going to the church to be baptized. A cop pulled them over. He thinks, oh boy, now what? It's a big black policeman. He says, what in the world are you people doing in this part of town at midnight and it's cold outside? Mike says, you're not going to believe me. He says, try me. He told him, point blank. He said, follow me. He was a member of the church at that congregation. Gave him police escort. It's amazing to me as far as writing is concerned how he put this book together. His memory is a whole lot better than mine. Because the way it's written, and it's in story form, it's amazing. I couldn't remember a tenth of what he's got in there, as far as, even if I'd gone through it personally, to go back and put it together the way he did. I don't know. Killing the one-man pastoral system. Another chapter, latter part of the book. He had questions. Baptist Church is a one-pastoral system, along with most denominations. Some of them, well, a good portion of them, not just some, a good portion of them are regulated, if you will, by a hierarchy. In a national sense, but the preacher runs the show. Most of them got deacons. Most of them do not have elders. Doesn't cover all of them, but it covers a good portion of them. So whatever the preacher says goes, just like Baptist preacher telling him that John the Baptist started the Baptist church. Anybody else question it? How about the 500 and 600, 700 members of this congregation? Way we was raised. So it's an eye-opener to say the least. Muscle and shovel, where'd that come from? If you're digging like Mike did and like most other people will after they read this, if they're not familiar with it to begin with, they've got to use some muscle up here and dig, just like he did. Randall threw it out, and then he started digging. Mike started digging to find out the answer. He'd read this scripture and read this tract and ask this preacher at the next place he stopped. He kept digging till he found the answer. And it went through, as you'll see in the book, it covers a lot of ground, a whole lot of. But he finally got there. And actually, Jonita was there before he was. She was just wondering when he was going to wake up. It's a great teaching tool. I'm tickled to death that he's coming out with a sequel to it. I can't wait to get a hold of it whenever it's available. But the more we can use a tool, and that's what this is as far as I'm concerned, to reach out to the non-Christians in this world, particularly in the United States. I'm not just saying just here, I'm saying anywhere in the world, but particularly here with the amount of problems we've got today with the influx of illegals into this country and the Muslim influence in this country and homosexual influence in this country. I can go on and on and on. And I would, if you'd told me when I was 15, 16 years old, we'd see a country like we see today in the United States, I'd have said, you're nuts. It won't ever happen. But it has. So this is a tool we can use. simple, straightforward. Studying and understanding the Bible isn't for the lazy. Studying the Bible requires muscle and a shovel, mental muscle and willingness to use honest intelligence, the metaphorical shovel, to dig deep beyond all of our preconceived ideas, our false beliefs, and our comfortable traditions. That fits all of us. Have we got traditions within the church? You bet. And if you moved around any at all and attended other congregations, some of the traditions carry from one congregation to another. Some carry through generations. But if they're traditions and they're not doctrine, they're not biblical, let's be careful about making sure that we do something that's a tradition and not something that's biblical. We're out of time. I've got some of these available if you haven't read it and want to. Let me know. If you want more, you can buy them through Amazon. You can buy them directly from Michael's site. I've got it written down. He's got a website. MichaelShankMinistries.com. Pretty simple. Anyway, thanks for everybody's comments and attention. Hopefully, if you didn't know anything about it, maybe you know enough about it now that you'll at least want to read it and share it with someone else. Thank you.
Coincidence, huh?